I hear my, I'm just thinking about how high, how I hear my voice. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Okay. Hi.
Hello.
So, I'm Anita Sadansky, and I'm here with Greta Weber. And it's January 12th, 2019. We're here in Hudson, Wisconsin, as part of the Winter Oral History Training Project. And Greta Weber is the interviewee, and we're both learning how to do this together. Would you like to introduce yourself, Greta?
Sure. And just for the record, we're in Hudson, New York, not Hudson, Wisconsin.
There's quite a difference. Thank you for getting that right.
My cousins actually live in Hudson, so Wisconsin. But my name is Greta. I'm from Wisconsin originally, coming to Hudson from Portland, Maine, where I now live, and I work in radio production and audio storytelling, and I'm here to learn more about the oral history sort of discipline and see if I can apply it to my work.
And would you like to talk about what got you interested in this area of work in the first place?
Sure. So I guess it goes back to high school when, or maybe even before that, when I sort of realized that writing was something that I was good at. And I think I always knew from a pretty young age that writing at least was something that I wanted to pursue. And so in high school, I thought that maybe journalism would be like a way to apply that. So I got into the high school paper and wrote for it for a couple of years and really liked it. And then when I was deciding where to go to school for college, I actually had a friend who was a year or two above me. Actually, she was a few years above me, who went to the University of Missouri's journalism school, which is like known as being pretty, I don't know if prestigious is the right word, but it's known for its journalism school. And so it was like, oh, that could be a possibility. And so I like went down to visit her in Missouri and really liked it. And the idea of journalism just made sense to me. Like I don't remember really even having to think about it. And like once I kind of discovered it, it just sort of like immediately made sense that was sort of like, okay, I can do this, like interviewing people and making it into some sort of article. It was just like, yeah, that sounds like something I could do. And then in college, I studied magazine writing because I was still sort of focused on more of the writing discipline. But as I got more into school and started to learn like why I actually liked journalism, I learned that I really liked the actual process of interviewing and also trying to like capture the essence of a person that I was talking to. That was like really meaningful to me. And I think just over time I realized that radio and podcasting was a better way to do that because you can actually hear someone's voice, which I always remember just like realizing how difficult it is when you take someone's quote and put it on a page, how much of that person is lost in that process. And when I was really into listening to radio and podcasts in the end of college, and I think like I just loved listening to people talk and like getting people's emotions through their voice. And so over time I think I just realized, okay, like radio is, it's still similar to kind of why I got into journalism, but it makes more sense to me, and I felt more of a passion toward it. So after working in magazines for a couple of years in DC, my hunch about that was sort of confirmed when I realized that magazines weren't really the kind of environment that I wanted to be in, and that's when I decided to go to the Salt Institute, which I'd heard about just kind of from people in the radio industry that I'd made friends with at the time. And applied and got in and went to Salt and really sort of dug into my passion and love of radio, and now just feel like for the first time in my life, really feel like I'm on a path toward something really awesome and like feel really good about it and just really love it.
Sounds really exciting.
It just feels, I think when I was trying to make a living as a writer, for like lots of reasons that we can get into or not, but it never really felt like the pain and sort of struggle of like learning how to be a writer or how to be a magazine writer never really felt worth it to me. That it never, like, it wasn't like it was like, okay, this is part of a larger process so that I can, it's that like I was, it didn't ever feel like, I think it hurt extra. It was like I didn't see it sort of getting better. Like, okay, this is just what I have to do. Is like kind of, yeah, it's just different. Now I feel like, even though sometimes I feel like I'm still learning a lot and that it's like I fail a lot and that it's like that's hard. It's like I have this deeper sense of like it's all part of this bigger process of like becoming a better radio producer. And it's like I'm able to like absorb it better and to sort of see it more as a process, and like I don't internalize it as much as like a failure of my own. It's just sort of I enjoy the actual process more, and that's told me a lot about like kind of that I've hopefully made the right choice to sort of go into it.
And you mentioned capturing the essence of a person as being something you're really passionate about.
I mean, that's, I think I've just learned having the comparison between interviewing people for print and interviewing people for radio. It was just such a bummer when I would have to like when I was li I would listen to the interviews and transcribe them. And I remember being just like so into what they were saying and the way that they were saying it. And then, yeah, you just copy and paste a quote and put it on the page, and all of that is lost. And not to say that, I mean, I think really good writers and journalists can like construct a world around that quote with their writing that can kind of bring it to life. But I just felt like, why not just. You can play the actual quote for people, and it gives you so much more information and context about how that person is in the world. I mean, I really do believe that the essence of a person is in their voice, and that you can like draw so much from that just by listening to like a couple of seconds of them. You can learn so much about a person. Not everything about them, but just sort of like you have that kind of gut feeling about who they are and where they are in the world just through their voice and how they talk. It's like, I think it's a powerful thing.
I'm interested in what that was like, what people's voices have meant to you and been like for you, maybe even before you became a writer and then a radio producer.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that before, but I think maybe a like something relevant is that sort of connected maybe to my love of people's voices is my sort of orientation within my own family. So I'm the youngest of four siblings, and was always kind of the like observer in the family. Like I was relatively low maintenance. My parents would always joke that I was like the Matilda of the family, and like that was kind of like self-sufficient and independent. And like my dad still jokes that like I'm the most mature person in my family. And I think, I don't know if that's a mix of just like genetics and nurturing, in terms of like when you're the youngest, you just sort of learn to, you have so much around you to look at and observe and kind of just like take a back seat to, that from a young age, that was always my like predisposition, was like to observe. And I didn't like mind not being the center of attention. I preferred not to be. And so, and like, yeah, still to this day, I think just like to be a fly on the wall and kind of like just observe. And so that, I mean, that could be a part of like sort of a thread of my connection to listening to people now, is kind of like how I see my personality and like kind of just my nature as an observer sort of folding into my work. But in terms of like people's actual voices, I don't know. I mean, my sister is a singer, and my entire life has been singing, like, around the house, and that's just always been a part of my life, is her voice. But I think it's a separate thing, is like her song and her singing voice, than like my sort of love of the human voice just more generally. But yeah.
So you've been observing all kinds of things since you were really young. And, I feel like you learned a lot that way.
Yeah, I do. I feel really lucky, actually, that I'm the youngest, because I feel like I get to see the future, kind of, by seeing how my siblings' lives play out. And, like, I feel really grateful for that opportunity to have these people that I'm really close with and whose lives I'm really connected to have their lives play out in a way that I can say, like, oh, well, that's interesting, like, would I want to do that? And like, obviously I'm different from all of them in various ways, but it's almost like a template or a blueprint that I get to be privy to.
Or a peek into the future or something.
Sort of, yeah. And yeah, I think just like my worldview, not my worldview, but like just how I see the world is, yeah, just sort of shaped by that orientation in my family. And it's something I like, and I feel lucky to have.
So you have three older siblings. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about them.
Yeah, so there's my oldest sister. It's 10 years older than me. So her name is Claire, and her experience of me, I think, is very different from my experience of her, because she was 10 years old when I was born, and she's seen me as a baby, and she talks a lot about or she used to, at least when I was little, like that. She used to come into my room and I was crying as a baby and rock me back to sleep, and how she just loved me in that way that almost like a mother has for her daughter. And I've become more aware as I get older that I have no idea what that's like for her to like have seen me grow up in that way. And for me, I mean, she left home when I was to go to college when I was like 8. So my memories of really living with her are pretty limited. And I think our relationship is in a lot of ways like really shaped by that age gap. And then my brother, Eric, he's maybe 6 or 7 years older than me. He's always been someone that I'm really have this like intrinsic connection to, because I think we're just really similar people. I've always kind of thought of my brother and I being taking after my dad's nature as being like a little bit more calm and like maybe thoughtful, like analytical, maybe in our mindsets. And then my sisters, Claire and Grace, sort of taking after my mom, which like it could be framed negatively, I guess, but like just in terms of they all have like a tendency to, I think, worry and be a little bit more high strung. But anyway, like beyond just like my brother and I sharing my dad's disposition or whatever, having some sort of genetic like similarity, I think he's someone that I can just like sit with and not, it's like one of those people who you can be quiet with and not have to say anything around, but still
your brother.
Yeah. But still have that bond. that it's like deeper than any sort of like conversations or experiences we have together. And there's no like, even now, I mean, he's now a father. He just had a kid like last year, in November. And I can already tell that we're not going to be maybe as close anymore just because he's dealing with another human. But I don't imagine that our like bond will ever really suffer. It seems like it's pretty strong. And then my sister Grace, she's the closest to me in age. She's 5 years older than me. She is a singer now, has always been a singer, has had probably of all of my siblings like the most kind of personality, and we've like, I would say we kind of fought as kids just because of our proximity in age. She was the closest one that I could kind of brawl, like kind of quarrel with, I guess. But as we've gotten older, we've gotten really close. I feel like she's someone who I can talk to about anything. And we just, I think, have this like mutual support of each other that we can kind of bring to each other in different ways. And yeah, it's I think as I've gotten older too, like since I'm younger by a lot, like I'm 5'7", 10", which is like for a lot of families, some people ask if I was a mistake because I'm 5 years still seems like a lot to people, to be the closest age, like the closest gap. But I wasn't a mistake according to my parents. But anyway, when I was growing up, it just meant that like when I was 12, I didn't really relate to my siblings who were in a different era of their life. So as I've gotten into my 20s, I think our relationship has like changed and just gotten closer in a way because we can all relate to each other pretty easily. And that's been fun, kind of getting into that next stage of my life where I'm no longer, I mean, I guess I am still to them like the little sister, the youngest, the baby, but I think I'm more of like a just like another they can relate to me more just as a human, which like when I was 12 and my sister was 19, we didn't have much in common. So, but yeah, my siblings and that's always been kind of like a big part of my identity, I would say, is like being the youngest of four. That feels like a big part of my life, in different ways.
And do you think that that influenced your friendships and other relationships?
I think when I was, I don't know. I think when I was growing up, I maybe because my siblings weren't around in my life actually that much, like when I became almost like an only child at some point because my Grace, who's closest to me in age, like went off to college when I was like in 8th grade, I think. So I think that just meant that my friendships were kind of close, like closer, because I didn't have my siblings around. So it's possible that my friendships sort of maybe were like there's an intimacy that I had with my friends that maybe I was sort of taking place of maybe an intimate, like just in terms of like proximity and seeing them all the time that I didn't really have when I was growing up with my older siblings. But yeah, I don't know. The other thing, I mean, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and forged like pretty close relationships with other girls there, just because of the environment. I think it lends itself to this, the sort of, it's cliche, but like the sisterhood aspect. It's definitely a real thing, and like, so I think that's maybe another factor in like the closeness of my at least high school friendships that I think actually my sisters, like Grace would sometimes say like, "Oh, you're so lucky you have like this really awesome group of girlfriends." That I could maybe like go to for advice more than I had to for my older siblings. Like that was another part, I guess, about having an older, like 2 older sisters. Like they would probably say that I was sort of like more reserved and like I didn't really go to them with like my problems as a kid, because I don't know if it was like I wanted to be more independent, but I would say that part of our relationship actually didn't really emerge until later in my life.
Going to them for advice and
Yeah.
that kind of thing. And you mentioned that your brother had a child really recently, and that might change things. I wonder if you want to talk more about that.
Yeah, it's something that's like in the back of my mind. That I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I'm mostly kind of just curious to see what'll happen, because I can like find myself like before he had a kid, I would just call him whenever, and like we would I would sort of we could talk for hours, and that was kind of. And sometimes we wouldn't talk for like a couple months, but we've had this relationship where we've been able to kind of just pick up where things left off, even after not talking for a while. But now, I just think like I just wonder his maybe his time will be less open for that kind of relationship, and but I still have, like I don't really worry that it'll suffer or anything. I think it'll just change, maybe just in terms of like how much we're really able to keep up with each other. But I saw him over Christmas, and you know, it's just really like sweet seeing him as a dad, and I'm excited like there's a new relationship now that I can sort of develop in tandem with my changing relationship with my brother.
Being an aunt.
Yeah, and I'm actually this is I've been my sister has three kids, so
Okay.
it's not my first experience, but definitely it's a different experience being like I would say I'm a little bit closer to my brother, and so like I imagine my relationship with his daughter will be much different, or just like will be a whole new experience that I'm excited about. Yeah. Her name is Frances. She's really sweet.
What is she like?
She's like, you know, she's 10 weeks old, I think. So she's a baby, but she's really sweet. She's smiley and yeah, really looks like my brother, like in her face. So, but yeah, I'm excited to just like have be a witness to that family and be as supportive and close to them as I can be.
And do you want to talk more about your parents and
So my let's see, what can I say about them? They're both incredibly supportive, and I think they've just done a really good job being parents. Like my dad, he's given up. I don't know if maybe he's not. I don't know. He's given up a fair share of his kind of maybe autonomy in the world. Like he. Just because he wants to kind of give us the best life he can give, which I think practically has just meant that he's worked a lot, and like he's a lawyer and cares a lot about his work and is really smart. But I think him being able to sort of provide some sort of like financial security for our family has been important to him, and it's something that he's, you know, and also, I mean, I think when we were little, maybe he was a little bit more focused on like his work and like providing a little bit like more of the like financial support. I think as he's gotten older, he's like reconnected a little bit more with his sentimentality and his like more emotional support, and communicating that is like I can see has just like grown and grown every year, and that's really sweet. He's just like loves his kids so much. And my mom, she mostly was at home growing up. She's a teacher and was Both my parents are from Milwaukee, and they actually met in high school at Pius. And she was a teacher for a couple years in Milwaukee. And then when she started having us, she subbed a little bit, worked like part-time, but was mostly a stay-at-home mom. And yeah, she's also given up a lot. Just, I don't know, she's like so dedicated to us in this like really big way, and in a way that I don't know that I've even, again, as I start to get older, see, I'm able to like appreciate it more. And you know, and when you're a kid, you just take it for granted. But now that I just see how lucky I am to like have her as such like a consistent and constant source of like comfort and support. And but yeah, they're both really great people. I feel very lucky to have them be my parents. And they both come from family, big families. My mom comes from a family of 10. My dad comes from a family of 9. So I have over 50 first cousins from that. And I love that too. That's been a gift, in a lot of ways. And yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Talk about the gifts of having 50 first cousins, did
Yeah,
you?
well, it's interesting. I mean, my mom, it's different for each side of my family. I'm definitely closer with my mom's family. Mostly just because of my mom's relationship to her family is pretty stable and close, and she gets along for the most part with all of her siblings, and so that sort of her closeness has sort of trickled down to me and like how I feel about my aunts and uncles and my cousins. But yeah, it's really, I mean, it's cool in the sense that I get to like see all these really awesome people doing their thing, and like almost all my cousins are really great people, and like I admire them in different ways. And I feel like we're like, for being so many of us, I'm surprised actually, like, just like statistically, that there's not sort of like more instability in our lives. I don't know if that's a testament to our family or whatever genetics, but yeah, all of us are just like, it's just like a cool group of people that I like a lot, and that's fun. Even like as we get older. I mean, I don't see some of my cousins, I don't see as much, but it's always really nice to see everybody. And we try to get together for Thanksgiving and Christmas every year.
Must be a big gathering.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But yeah, in my dad's side, it's a little more complicated because he kind of has a bit more of a strained relationship with his siblings, and that's meant different things for him over the years. Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but it's hard for him to maintain close relationships with his siblings, because of multiple reasons. But I think he sort of learned that he has to like step back from his family a little bit in order to like keep his sanity and kind of like live his own life. His family is like the one thing that makes him, I don't know, I just see a different side of him come out when he talks about his family. It's like, it just seems to be a source of like pain and a little bit of like, yeah, unresolved even pain of strained relationships. So like, for example, we don't really see, I don't really see that side of the family that much, because I think he's just learned that it's better for him not to, I mean, he has relationships with them, but I think he has to like step back from that a little bit, just for, should like take care of himself. So almost as, and also just as, I think is, I mean, and there are people on that side of the family I love and like I'm still in touch with and that I see and that he talks to like a lot of his siblings all the time. But it's just more complicated, and so that just means that my relationships with my cousins on that side aren't as close. But yeah, I don't know. I'm always interested in possibly like figuring out how to transcend that relationship, or transcend the kind of like, just because my dad has trouble connecting with people in his family. I mean, he's never been like, he's never discouraged us from like having our own relationships. But just maybe just like, that's just kind of been the result, is because we're Ralph's family that like we're gonna kind of take after his lead a little bit more in terms of his relationships. But yeah, I mean I can't imagine not having a big family. And so, and it's, you know, it's so, it's just such a part of my life that with some people, sometimes when people ask, the one thing that people ask me, well, so when they learn I have like so many cousins, everyone always asks like, do you know their names? Huh. I'm like, yes. They're like, you know, like, it just seems so crazy to people that you could have that many cousins. But yeah, it's always like, yeah, it's not like, yeah, it's just the way that I've grown up. It's, yeah, not weird to me.
Yeah,
like, I understand why it's unique, but yeah, it feels just like the fabric of my family life is just, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Our minds and hearts are quite capable of that if that's there. They,
yeah,
expand into it. I've wondered the same things at times, seeing the world of Hmong students and with huge families and,
yeah,
all the relationships. And of course, they know,
right,
all of them, and
yeah,
that's just,
yeah,
totally normal.
Right.
So, one thing I'm curious about with your interest in capturing the essence of people and recording it in various ways, making it available to more people, if you at times think about that in relation to your family.
Yeah, not really, actually. I mean, recently I've started to record them, and I'm interested in it more and more, but I don't know, I think maybe, I don't really know why that is, but I think part of my orientation in my work and my love of it is like, is the actual like finding the stories and kind of that like hunt of like trying to find a good story is like really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, obviously there are stories that in my own family, but maybe it's just kind of like the novelty of kind of somebody else's experience that I'm also really interested in. Like, I'm a really curious person. And so the unfamiliar and kind of like trying to understand someone else's point of view through an interview or through a story and like trying to synthesize the information that I'm getting from people, that's almost like, I think that's a big part of it too. It's not necessarily just recording, but it's like what the process of recording can reveal about somebody else that I don't know. And like, the process of discovery too is really exciting to me. Like I feel so lucky that like I can just basically call up anybody and say, I'm a journalist, I'm interested in your life, and like most people are down to just to share. So maybe it's just like I'll eventually come back around to my family, but almost like maybe I've taken it for granted as sort of like, well, it's always there, and like the kind of the possibility of like people outside of me and trying to hunt that down, and yeah, has been more of a driving force, I think.
You haven't mentioned grandparents. Is there anything that you want to?
I don't really have that much to say about my grandparents. I mean, my grandma, my mom's side, so my grandpa died maybe 10 years ago on my mom's side. But I wasn't very close with him. I mean, it was like, we had like a normal, I would say, like, relationship that just wasn't incredibly deep or intimate. But my grandma, I love my grandma on my mom's side. She's 94 and lives alone now in like a assisted living apartment in Milwaukee. And yeah, she's great. Like, I think she's, it's been fun seeing her kind of, like, she had 10 kids and married young, and she's almost had this, like, second life after her husband died, just in terms of, like, being able to live alone, and, like, kind of forge her own life. It's been really fun to watch. And I see her relatively often. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like our relationship, it's kind of, I don't know what the word is, like, she's just kind of, she's like a comforting presence in our family, and I feel comfortable around her, but it's not, we don't really, like, I wouldn't, like, share the sort of, like, intimate details of my life, necessarily. Just maybe because we just don't have that type of relationship. It's not really like, yeah, it's kind of more like, what are you up to? Like, you know, and I feel like I love her and like we have like a bond, but it's just kind of, I don't know. It's hard to describe. But on my dad's side, my dad's parents are a little bit also more complicated. Like my grandma has had kind of a crazy life. She was when she was about 10, I think, she was living in Manila in the Philippines. And because her dad was stationed there during World War I or World War II. I think it was World War II. Or wait, I should know this. But anyway, she was there with her mom and dad, who was stationed there. And at the end of the war, he was killed. And her mom and her were basically imprisoned in a like internment camp for almost like 2 years, I think. And that I can tell has like really shaped her life, because she was like 12 to 15 to 14, you know, like starving, watching her mom try to forge some sort of normal life in those conditions. And I think, I don't know, I mean, my theory maybe is that it kind of stunted her development, and she I don't know that she was ever really equipped to have 9 children. Like, I think she had her own trauma to sort of untangle that. I don't know. I'm not really sure if it ever really was entangled. And I can, she's sort of relied more on religion to maybe make sense of that. So I don't know. I don't, like, it's weird because I don't really feel like I connect with her at all. Like, I don't really understand her. And I don't know if that's informed by my dad, because I feel like he's a little bit resentful of his parents, too, for just being a little bit more aloof and, like, not really knowing what they were doing. And just, like, they're just really different. And I also just feel really different from her. And my grandpa, he's great. He's, like, a history teacher. He's, like, he's kind of like my dad in the sense that he's, like, really always, like, has this, like, jovial disposition. And, yeah, but I haven't, like, I would say that I'm not very close with them. And I'm actually going, I think I'm going to do an oral history with them soon. So I'm curious to kind of, like, revisit my relationship with them, possibly, and set aside some of my assumptions about them. Because I think I've seen them through my father's eyes and who I've, like, kind of been taught to view them, and, like, through no fault of my father, but I don't know. I don't really feel that many emotions, like, when I talk about them. I think that maybe just is telling of, like, I just am not very intimately connected to them, like, emotionally.
And that's interesting that at this point, out of your family, they are the people you're considering doing oral history with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is kind of, I'm doing it for my uncle, actually, because he really wants to capture that, their experience. I honestly wouldn't do it if it weren't for my uncle wanting me to. And selfishly, actually, this is something I feel kind of bad about. Like, I almost feel like I'm, this idea of, like, kind of turning this into a business of, like, capturing people's family histories. I see, like, interviewing my grandparents as, like, an opportunity to start that work. So it's almost more of, like, a selfish kind of motive, I suppose. I mean, I'm interested in their lives, obviously, and I want to capture it for preservation's sake. And I'm trying to be just open to the experience personally. But yeah, it's not actually, like, necessarily my first choice. Like, I would probably rather do, I actually would rather, someone I really want to do is my uncle, Tom, who's, he's, like, the one person on my mom's side who's been, like, super into, like, charting the family tree. And he's a lot of knowledge about our family history. And is also just an interesting person. Like, he came of age during Vietnam and was almost drafted, but he, like, starved himself so that he would be under the weight limit and were a requirement. And went to Juilliard, like, played the trombone, was almost in the New York Philharmonic. So he's a lot of things, like, I'm just interested in his life and other people in my family too. So I think I'll get to them.
Mm-hmm. Let me check time here. Yes, I think we have a little less than 20 minutes, 15
okay.
minutes. So and one of the things you said earlier that I was thinking of asking you about is just your passion and enthusiasm for a good story of, you know, like, learning about a person's life with a, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering, I was curious about what makes a story
mm-hmm.
particularly compelling or interesting to you, and it sounds like you said a little bit about that related to this uncle, but is there more about that?
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It's almost more like a feeling I get when mm-hmm. I hear someone's story, or if I hear even, like a random, like, if someone just sort of mentions, like, oh yeah, like that, you know, I was in the grocery store and I saw this, you know, this person who, like, I had this conversation with, and, like, to them it might be just sort of like a passing moment, but I try to pay attention to, like, if there's something that kind of sparks my heart in hearing about something else, then I try to follow that. And I don't actually know what that is. Like, I think maybe it could be something unusual. Like, I think something maybe that makes a good story is, like, just a way of thinking about something that's really different. And that kind of, like, makes me, like, think, like, oh, I've never really considered that before. And that could include, like, the actual, like, kind of beginning, middle, end, like, arc of a story, but also just it could be, like, sometimes people are just draw me in, like, the character of somebody can be, like, so compelling. It's just, like, I just want to spend time with that person. But yeah, I mean, I'm still learning a lot about what attracts me. Like, I've never really had, like, people, when I say I'm a journalist or, like, that I'm a radio producer, a lot of people ask what my beat is, and I never have had one. I have no idea, like, what I would do or say for that. And that's something I'm trying to, like, kind of maybe piece together in hindsight. Like, is there, looking at the stories I've done, is there something that connects them in some way that, like, I can learn, like, why I'm drawn to certain things? So, yeah, it's, I think also just, like, with radio especially, if it's really in, like, what I'm trying to learn about, like, the way that somebody, whoever I'm interviewing is, like, how the kind of energy that I get from them. If I feel like they are, like, really invested or, like, just really connected to the topic and, like, talk about it in this way, it's, like, really exciting or, like, has, like, I almost, like, take my lead from, like, the people that I'm just kind of in the orbit of the story. And
have you noticed changes in what you're drawn to or how it goes either in different geographic regions or in recent times as things change in the world?
I don't think so. I mean, it's possible, but that I'm just not aware of it. But I mean, something that I have been interested in recently has been addiction. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what particularly drew me to that. Like, but for my SALT project, I did a story about a woman whose sister had been an addict for, like, a long time, and sort of, like, telling the story of somebody, trying to tell the story of someone whose, like, family member is in the grips of addiction and kind of what that does to the other person in that situation. I think, and I'm also working on a story now about an alcoholic who died last year from alcoholism and kind of the impact on his community. I think the reason I'm interested in addiction is because, especially, like, addiction and family and addiction and how it affects family relationships or, like, close friend relationships, is just that it's, like, it seems, like, impossible to navigate, or, like, there's not, like, a solution to how addiction can totally wreck a relationship or someone's life, or, like, sort of, like, completely change what you would assume would be, like, an unconditional love, but it can, like, get in there and change that in really interesting ways. I'm just interested in like the gap between how, like, yeah, just I guess like the relationships that we take for granted as being like that will like always be kind of tethered in this way and unchanged, or sort of at least like unconditional. It's like addiction seems to be a condition that actually does can completely turn that around. So I don't know. That's just something, a recent topic that I'm like find myself being drawn to. But I don't really have a personal connection to it. There's like no one really in my family actually that I know that's been addicted to anything or like had any sort of substance abuse. So it's really more of like maybe that is maybe I'm interested in because of that, like because I don't know what it's like for your sister to die because she didn't know how to stop taking opioids. Like, that seems crazy to me, even imagining that. So I think I just want to like understand it. And that's another thing that's like propelling is just the desire to really understand something from someone else's perspective. And you can just like learn a lot from that process. And that's like another thing. I just feel really like lucky that I'm able to like be in this profession, because I feel like I'm learning all the time about things and people and ways of life that otherwise I wouldn't be exposed to or wouldn't really be on my radar. So I kind of use it as an opportunity to get outside my comfort zone and like really try to put my assumptions aside, even though that's really hard to fully do that, but at least try is like, I think, worth it.
Do you have a story about that? About the struggle to put your assumptions aside to really be open to learning someone else's point of view?
I'm trying to think of a recent example. I don't know. This is probably not totally true, but I actually feel like I really do. I don't know, in most situations I really try to like not judge anyone and like just sort of take them as they are. But there's always going to be like certain assumptions I have about them coming into the situation, just like you would with anybody, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe in this recent story that I've been working on, it's like probably had assumptions about like what it even means to be, or I don't know, maybe like assuming that in the context of addiction, that like no matter what, you should always be there for that person. Or like maybe there's like a subconscious judgment that if you sort of end up having to step away from a relationship because it's too hard, then that's like that possibly could be judging that person for not just sticking it out or like trying harder. But I've learned that it's not that easy, and that people have many reasons and justifications for having to cut ties with people that are just too, like, it's just too painful to like have to figure out how to You can't fix everybody, no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
And you mentioned before that that's that issue coming to really getting to examine that issue makes looking at addiction so compelling because mm-hmm. of how destructive it can be.
Yeah.
And taking a really close look at that and trying to imagine.
Yeah, and just like how complicated it is. Mm-hmm. I think I'm drawn to that. Like, mm-hmm. I still don't really know. I don't really ever try to, like, come away with, like, an answer or anything because, like, I don't really think there is one. Mm-hmm. But I think the process of talking about it and, like, trying to just live in that space of, like, uncertainty and discomfort and reflection about, like, what could have been done or whatever is, like, I think useful and can yield a lot of interesting mm-hmm. conversations. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still, like, really... I'm still, like, learning a lot about how to tell a story, and I don't feel like... I almost feel like I'm just learning or just starting to kind of, like, figure it out. But I hope that even if that I can kind of maintain the, like, curiosity and non-judgment I try to bring to situations.
And we need to wrap up in a minute or two. I don't know. I didn't ask you if there were other things you wanted to talk about, but just is there anything else you want to mention as we wrap up?
No, I think if I hear this interview in the future, I'm interested to see where I'm going to be in, like, 5 years, because I still feel like I'm at this point in my life when, like, so many things are changing and